I shared a message with you last year about a beauty makeover on Mother's Day. And I'm going to share some things that I did last year this year, because you've had a whole year now to look at it, and we're going to talk about some of those things. Ephesians 5:28 says, "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body." One beautiful mom that has went on to be with the Lord, she was a spiritual mother to me for years, taught me this motto many years ago, and it's so true. She said, "Happy wife, happy life." Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning to give thanks from the bottom of our hearts, Lord God, for the moms that you placed in our lives. Lord, whether they are mothers by birth, whether they are moms that have just taken up the mantle for us, whether they're stepmoms or grandmoms, or Lord, they have shown us your nurture, your love, your care in our lives. You made Adam in the garden, Lord God. You made all of creation and said that it was good. And then the first thing you said that was not good was that man would be alone. And so you took a whole nother day, Father, to make a woman, and you brought it to the man. And he said, "This shall be bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And you called her woman. And God, I am grateful for that, because without their presence, there is a whole part of your heart, a whole half of who you are, that mankind would have never known. And Father, we just thank you for each one. Those that have already gone on to be with you, Father, and that are absent around the table in our lives right now, God, may we treasure in our hearts every memory. May we today give thanks to you all day long for them as well, Father. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's Mother's Day, but I believe today and every day we should honor and cherish not only our mothers, but motherhood and women as a whole. Jesus was the first women's liberator. Did you know that? I got to tell you, sometimes it breaks my heart. You know, I'm on social media and I see women every age, every background, every color, every race. And I see some of the hurtful, negative self-talk that you give to yourselves as women. You know, we're always looking and comparing ourselves to others, and you know, we feel we're not pretty enough, or we're not young enough, or we're not the right size, or we're not the right height. And then I look at history. I'm kind of a history buff. And I look at history, and I got to tell you, women have had a hard time in this world all through the ages. For some reason, every time we as a society, when I say we, I'm talking about all the history of mankind, when we decide to make up our rules and we make up our regulations and how we're going to live life, somehow we always hand women the short end of the stick. Somebody say amen. I believe there's a reason for that. I believe the reason is that when God spoke to Satan himself in the Garden of Eden and said, "Oh boy, one of these days I am going to use the seed of a woman and I am going to absolutely crush your head." I believe when God said that, he put a bullseye on every woman that's ever been born. The devil hates you, ladies. He does. He does, because through you, a Savior would be born into the world. Through you, through motherhood, the salvation of man would come to everybody. And it just seems like in every society and in almost every culture in all of history, The devil tries to put you down. And ladies, I want you to know that just like that prophecy came this morning, God said, I am a God of love, and just like you love each other in fellowship in Christ, he said, my love is 10,000 times greater than that for you. And I heard that for you ladies this morning. It's Mother's Day. God wanted you to know how much he loves you, cares for you, how precious you are in his sight. Amen. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg, with the man or the woman, which come first? And we need them both. Amen. I used to be a bachelor. I used to live in an apartment. Wasn't all that colorful. Didn't look all that homey. And then I married my lovely wife, and all the beauty and grace and art that she brought into my life. I'd hate to think of what the world would be like without the touch of you women in it. It'd be pretty vanilla. It'd be pretty blah. It really would. We need you so desperately in our lives. And don't you ever forget that. And ladies, if you are one of those ladies that talks down to yourself, you let that little voice in your head just constantly beat you in the ground. The Bible said that you and I as Christians, when we're born again, God's Spirit helps us to bring every thought into subjection to the knowledge of Christ. And when the enemy starts coming and doing that stuff to you, you need to tell him, I am a child of God. I am a woman of God. I was created in the image and likeness of God. There is only one of me. God created one of me, and I am his special treasure. And devil, you need to just leave me alone in Jesus' name. Get out of my head. Don't even entertain that stuff. Oh, I know it's there. I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time from you ladies. In the book of Acts, I told you Jesus was the greatest women's liberator. In the book of Acts, God says, even on my servants, both on men and women, I'm going to pour out in my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You know, in the kingdom of God, when you belong to Jesus, there is no glass ceiling anymore. There isn't. Now, I know some churches and traditions and, you know, ideas of man, they try to make it happen even in the church, but God does not see it that way. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When he said in Acts, I'm going to pour out my spirit on my servants and my handmaidens, what he was saying is, guys and girls alike, moms and dads alike, God is no respecter of persons. He said, I'm pouring my spirit out on everybody. It's not just a man thing. In Galatians 3:28, it says this, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, you don't hear a lot of it anymore. I think you ladies finally scared them down. But you used to hear a lot in the church about how women shouldn't be preaching and women shouldn't be in ministry. I hate to tell you, if women weren't preaching and women weren't doing ministry and women weren't involved in the ministry of the church, the doors would have been shut a long time ago. When you read the scripture, you'll see Jesus hanging on the cross. You know where all the guys were? They'd run off. They were chicken. Yeah, they were. Peter had one little handmaid standing beside the fire. She said, you're one of his disciples. He said, no, I ain't. Said, I believe you were. I think I saw you with him. No, I'm not. Oh, you are one of his disciples. You talk just like him. The Bible said he started cussing, then he ran off. And he had just told Jesus a few hours before, he said, man, even if they kill you, I'll die with you. Yeah, rah, rah, rah. And off he ran. You know what the Bible says? The women that followed Jesus were at the bottom of the cross. Now, thank God for courageous men. You know, we have a men's group right here called Courageous Men. You are courageous, right? Guys, I mean. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of courageous women in the world, too. They put up with a lot of stuff. They put up with you. They put up with a lot of things from society. They put up with a lot of things in the world. But there's a lot of courageous women in the world, and Jesus said, we're all one. We're all on equal ground. That was never in the mind or the heart of God to do those things. You see some horrendous things in the Old Testament done to women by godly men. That was not God's plan. That was not God's idea. Jesus said in the beginning, God said one man, one woman, they would take care of each other, nurture each other for a lifetime. All that messed up stuff you see in the Old Testament, that was man's idea. That wasn't God's. God loves us all. And God always wants to give us a beauty makeover. But you know what God wants to do? He wants to give us a beauty makeover from the inside out. I once thought I could put up with any woman in the world if she was pretty enough, Darlene. I ran into a few of them, and I found out that ain't true. And I found out some that look gorgeous on the outside are absolutely rotten and ugly to the core on the inside. I ain't naming names. And I want to share with you, it doesn't matter how tall you are, short you are, how much you weigh or don't weigh, or, you know, whether you got blonde hair. Us blondes have more fun. I used to be blonde. Blondes do have more fun. I just got to tell you that. I was a towhead, though. I was like 20. You know, if you know what that is. But, you know, regardless of what you are on the outside, and I don't care how pretty you are or how attractive you are to people, there will always be somebody that's a little bit prettier on the outside. But you know what? It truly is. I know it sounds like a cliche, but it's what you are on the inside that makes you beautiful or not. That's what makes you beautiful or not in the eyes of God, and that's what makes you beautiful or not in the eyes of men. I often tell these teenagers, you know, because they're so busy fixing their hair and doing their makeup just right, and they're, you know, they got the lipstick going on. I'm like, I know you're really into that, but by the time you're 30, most people aren't even going to, you know. I said, when you're young, everybody's so self-absorbed, they don't look at you anyway. You know, all they see is them. I said, by the time they get over that and they grow up, mature a little bit, and start looking around, their eyesight's going bad, Brother Steve. You know, half the people you're getting all dressed up for, they can't even see it. That's the truth. But on the inside, what you are on the inside as a person, that is what will make you beautiful or not. And God tells us what a beautiful woman looks like in Proverbs 31. Now, I've been a preacher now this year for, I've been a pastor for 33 years, I think, this year. Pastor in this church. That's like a marriage. Most pastors are about 3 to 5 years and they're out of here, but thank God you let me stick around this long. You know, there's only so many scriptures you can go to in 33 years for Mother's Day. But God's Word never grows old because it speaks to every area of our lives. It speaks to the depths of our hearts. And God tells us in Proverbs 31 what a beautiful woman looks like to Him. And I want you to do a little spiritual checkup, ladies, as I talk about a beauty makeover. Proverbs 31:10 says, a wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than rubies. She is. If you are ugly on the inside, there's not enough diamonds in the world to dress you up, to beautify you, to make you look good. A beautiful and noble woman, the Bible said, is a rare and beautiful creature. And I want to say something to you single ladies. If you'll become a noble woman, you won't be single long. You know, some of us are praying, God, send that special one, send that soulmate, send that person that I can spend the rest of my life with. But you never stop to ask yourself, what kind of person am I? Am I asking the God of the universe to take a man of God who would love God and worship and serve God? And what am I asking Him to connect that person to when I say, God, bring that special person into my life? You know, if we're looking for Prince Charming, we need to make sure that some hard work has been done in our own lives, right? Because I can tell you, Hollywood has this idea that there's this one special person out there for all of us. And then we Christianize it and we say, well, God has this one special person for all of us. Hear me when I say this. You could find the most special person in the world. I'll go as far to say is you could be married to Jesus himself. But if you're not where you're supposed to be with God, it still won't work. It still won't work. You know what good marriages, how they're made? They're not made in heaven. They're made on earth by two people who are willing to live their lives according to the Word of God. God's Word is so powerful. I can tell you how to have a good marriage. This is what God's Word says. Ladies, respect and honor your husband. Husbands, love and cherish your wife, even as Christ loved and cherished the church and gave himself for it. If you would do those two things, ladies and gentlemen, and learn to do them all the time, every day, in your life, always, and have a little bit of forgiveness and mercy to each other while you're doing it, you will have Mr. Wright and Mrs. Wright. You will have a soulmate. You will have a person who you can live your whole life with. Some of you are going to hate this. It's not forever. You're not going to be married in heaven. You won't need to be. But you'll have someone you can live your whole life with here. And that you can love and cherish and honor and respect each other, and you can become twice the person you ever dreamed that you could be if you'll just do those two simple things. Honor and respect, love and cherish. Now, it sounds simple. There's a little more to it, but you got to start there at the very basics. And that's what a noble woman will do. The scripture went on to say her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. This may be maybe one other time that I've not had my wife with me at church. I don't like it. You know who my greatest fan is? You know who my greatest encourager is? You know who loves me more than anybody else on this planet? I used to think it was my mother, but it's my wife. It's my wife. She, like the Bible says here, she's going to do me good all the days of my life. She's not going to do harm to me. I know she's behind me. I know she's with me. And ladies, you need to be the same way. It says she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Ephesians 5:33 said, "Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." You've heard this before. Behind every great and successful man, there's what? A great woman. A great woman. Behind every great and successful man, there is a woman. And guys, if you live it right in God, you only have one wife. That's all you'll have. But God will raise up many women to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help be a part of your life, to help you succeed in the destiny that God has for you. See, I not only thank God for my wife, I thank God for my mother, I thank God for my grandmother, I thank God for my spiritual mothers in the church, some that are here and some that have gone on to be with the Lord, because they change and encourage our lives. One of them came to me one time, her and her husband. I was kind of boo-hooing because somebody got mad at me about something I preached, and I was pretty upset. And one of my spiritual mamas came to me, Teresa, and she said, "I just want to say one thing to you, Pastor Kid." She said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "What do you mean, don't worry about it?" She said, "Well, they always told me, you throw a rock in a pack of hounds, the one that yelps is the one you hit." That was encouraging to a young pastor. I got to tell you, I never forgot it. Because there's a lot of truth in that. Listen, the scripture says she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. Let me translate that for you. She's not lazy. She doesn't lay around in her house coat all day long, letting all the laundry pile up and the kids' toys and the dog stuff and the cat stuff and, you know, and wait for hubby to get home. Ouch. Ouch. No, the Bible said she's an industrious woman. She's a woman that's not afraid to work, not afraid to do what she needs to do in life. And ladies, I want to say to you this morning, serve and love your family. Don't be lazy and don't be slothful. If you're kind of tend to be on the lazy side, repent. Go to the book of Proverbs. Read what it has to say about slothful, lazy people. God didn't create you to be lazy and slothful. Now, I know you girls like to nest. Guys, you're like, why are they buying that? Why are they putting that on the shelf? Why, how many flowers do you have to have? Let me tell you a little secret, guys. They're nurturers. They're nesters. You know, just like you see these robins building these nests and laying their eggs, women are like that. Aren't you, ladies? Somebody say amen. Help me out, girls. Trying to help you out. And see, what you got to realize is your living room may look fantastic. It may look like something in good housekeeping, but when she gets ready to change it, man, change it. Just give up the fight and change it. Why? Because they're nesting. They're building that nest. But see, if you learn to love them and encourage them and nurture them while they're doing it, they'll make a beautiful nest out of your home. I promise you. That didn't cost you any extra. I just threw that in there. When women aren't nurturers, when they don't nurture and take care of you and take care of the things around them, something's broken because God has made them that way by nature. Thank God. Us guys are hunters. We are. We go hunt stuff. Now, we're not hunters like you are, ladies, when you go shopping. See, you go shopping. My wife can go shopping all day long and not buy nothing. And that's okay sometimes, as long as I don't have to go with her while she's doing that. She's not here. My mother-in-law's not here. I'm going to tell you one. No exaggeration. I stood in a store in Frederick one time with the two of them while they talked for over a half an hour about something they had seen in Harrisburg in a store. But they're nurturers. They got to do that. Any waiters in here? Your job, you're a waiter in a restaurant? Good. I hate waiters in a restaurant. Now, there's always an exception to every rule. When I go in, I usually ask them, I say, can I have a waitress? They'll say, well, we got waitresses. I said, no, I want a waitress. And sometimes they want me to explain why, and sometimes they don't. I said, just give me a waitress. You know what most waiters do? They'll come and they'll take your order, and if they remember to come back and bring your drinks back while you're waiting on your order, they'll eventually come bring your food, and then they will disappear forever. You know why? They're not nurturers. They're not. By nature, they're not nurturers. They don't know they got to come back and take care of you. That's why I always ask for a waitress, you know, because they'll come back and they'll bring the drinks, and you know, and if they're really good when they kind of time it out right. But they're always coming back. You need this, you need that, you want me to bring this, you want me to bring that. Because see, women do that by nature. Women will take care of you if you let them, as long as you don't break them. See, when they don't want to take care of you no more, you did something wrong, man. I'm not talking about one time. I'm talking about they get to the place, they ain't taking care of you. It's your fault, because by nature, they want to nurture you. I have to tell my wife sometimes, you know, I'm not 3 years old. I can do this. You know, they talk to you like you're nine sometimes. She'll say, open the car door and pull that out. I'm like, no, I'll just leave it all in there. But see, they do that naturally because they're nurturers. They want to take care of things. They want to take care of you if you'll let them. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, it goes on and it says, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth and diligent in homemaking. You ladies love to nest at your home, don't you? You like to beautify your home. About 11 years ago, my wife and I bought, wasn't a brand new home, but it was brand new to us. And the people had done what they told them to do on HGTV. Paint that whole thing eggshell white and it'll look enormous. And the people had done that. They had painted every inch of that house. You know what my wife wanted to do the second day we were in there? She said, "We got to paint this." I said, "Honey, they just painted it. It'd be good for 10 years. We got to paint this." We got one room. It's three different colors. It is. It looks good. You know why it's three different colors, Brittany? Because she bought one color. She said, "I don't know. I think that might be it, but I ain't sure." She bought another color. She said, "I think I like that better, but I'm not sure." And then she bought another color. That'd be all right, but it was a family room. It's got a cathedral ceiling. This is a pretty good sized room. I thought, I ain't painting that thing three times. I said, "How about if we do this wall this color, and these two walls this color, and this wall the other color?" I've been watching too much HGTV. You got to watch HGTV with them. You do. So we painted three different colors. She loves it. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. There you go. But see, what the scripture's telling us here, beautiful and noble women are industrious and hardworking, and they're good stewards. They're good stewards. That means you know how to take care of your possessions. You know how to help take care of your finances. You know, if you're a lady, you can either help your husband or you can injure him. You can do it financially. You can do it spiritually. You can do it emotionally. You can do it relationally. Physically, yeah, yeah, she read that in a book, that's how she knows that. Yeah, you can injure them physically, you want to sometimes, right? But see, the reality is, ladies, if you're industrious and you'll get behind your man, he can become more even than what you think he is or what you see. It says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. It means they're generous. It means they're givers. They're generous. They're beautiful. They're noble. Generosity is an adornment. You know, one of the things, another thing I love about my wife? She's generous. She likes to help people. She likes to do good. She likes to reach out to people. See, the opposite of that is that you're self-centered and selfish, and it's all about you. And I got to tell you, whether you're male or female, if that's you, marriage is going to be ridiculously unmerciful to you. Marriage is hard on immature, self-centered, selfish people that have to have everything their way and all they want. You can't live like that because you need to be generous. You need to be giving. You need to have a wide open heart and see that the world's bigger than you are. And that's what it means when it says she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Now, some of you heard me share these scriptures last year. You don't have to raise your hand, but how are you doing? You've had a year work on some of these things. How are you doing? Doing better? Listen, Psalm 37:25 said, "I was young and now I'm old." No, the psalmist said that. I'm not saying that. "I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing." How many of you know the world's full of givers and takers? You're either a giver or you're a taker. Be a giver, don't be a taker. All right? Scripture went on, it said, "When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple." I not only study history, I like to study people. I like sitting in an airport or in front of Walmart better than going to the Washington Zoo. I do. I mean, you could just see some stuff. And you learn some stuff about people after a while. And now we got that whole social media thing, you know, that gives us all a little vignette and window into each other's lives. Admit it, we're nosy. That's why we're on there. We are. Some of us don't even talk to anybody. We just nosing everything everybody's doing. Right? But you see some things. One of the things I see is I see marriages that are in trouble. And sometimes they'll put pictures up and you see women that look like they hadn't put on a little bit of makeup and a hairdo in 20 years. Until they split up. Or until they get a divorce. And then, buddy, we are putting on our finest and we've got our makeup to the hilt and our hair's done. And did you ever wonder why they lose some of them? Yeah, we're a little shallow, us guys. You know, that looks thing. We're in a little shallow. But you know, ladies, you get all dressed up to win them. And then you just go into plain Jane mode. You just get a little bit lazy about it all. And it's not right, but then you wonder why they run off with the secretary or they run off with this one or that one or the other one. And you don't have to look like Mrs. Cleaver every day. You don't have to be in a dress and heels and, you know, cooking bacon and eggs like they did in the 50s. But you need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of yourself. Oh, it's just him. See, this is what you ladies will do. When you're dating, you get all dressed up for that guy. You know, you'll do stuff that your mom and dad's been trying to get you to do for years. Cut your hair, put some makeup on, look a little different. And all at once you're doing it. And then after you get married, they're the only person you won't dress up for. What's up with that? Hello? Yeah, see, you need to take care of yourself all through life. One of my pastors years ago, somebody was arguing with him about whether women should wear makeup. He said, I think a fresh coat of paint on any old barn will freshen it up anytime. I'm just telling you what he said. I didn't say it. Listen, 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 says, I want women to show their beauty by dressing in appropriate clothes that are modest and respectable.
Amen.
Church. Oh, but they're all wearing the blouse line down to there, but you're not all of them. And they're all wearing it up to here. You know what Muslims are saying about us American Christians? They're saying they're all a bunch of floozies. They're running around with their bosoms hanging out and their bottoms uncovered and they're the great Satan. And the Bible says, dress appropriately in clothes that are modest and respectable. Before you come to Christ, maybe the guys you run with like you a little bit on the trashy side. But God doesn't. And neither do godly men. Amen. Before I get in trouble here, because I get in trouble here for sure if I keep on. Let me say it to you this way. Be classy, not trashy. Yeah. Leave a little bit to the imagination. Don't put it all out there in front of everybody to see. Years ago, I was preaching one time. I looked down, there was three ladies in the front row, and I could see all the way up to wherever it stopped. And see, it's one thing to be in the world to do that. Well, I'm just telling you, it's just the truth. But not Christians. Not Christians. Be classy, not trashy. And you know, sometimes you girls think, man, if I just put all that out there, they'll all like me for that. They may, but they're going to like you for all the wrong reason. And one of these days, that's going to get boring, and one of these days you're going to get older, and that's not going to be there. And if that's all your relationship is built on, you don't have a relationship anyway. That's just lust, is all that is. You don't have to do that. All right, we're going to leave that there. We're going to park it. I'm almost done. Worship team, will you come to the platform and save me, please? Listen what Proverbs 11:22 says about ladies that are not classy, but rather being trashy. It said, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. So you might get yourself all fixed up and be attracted, you know, some guy or some group of men. But see, in the eyes of God, you know what he sees? A pig with a ruby in his nose. I know, that's pretty tough, but there it is. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Aren't you here yet? Come on, guys, get up here. Get me out of this hole. It goes on, it says, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. And you know what, ladies? If you act right, people are going to respect your man. And if you respect your man, others are going to respect your man. They're going to look up at him like they're somebody. That's another thing I love about my wife, man. She is arm candy. Yeah, I walk around with her and people think I'm smarter than I am and wiser than I am and better looking than I am. Every once in a while, some smart aleck go, how'd you get her? I go, shh, she don't know. She don't know. Love is blind. She don't know. And they make you look good. I've had a lot of fun with you, and I got to quit while I'm still having fun. Would you stand? And I'm going to ask all of you ladies, if you will, every woman in this place, I want you to come and stand across this altar. I want to pray over you right now. And then we're going to worship a little bit. Happy Mother's Day. Now, don't tell Carla how I act when she's not here. I'm not going to let her see this CD, all right? Man. Look at all you beautiful ladies. All you handmaidens of the Lord. Let's give them a hand. There's enough power right here to do destruction to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Amen. We just let you ladies loose on them. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're a God of love, you're a God of humor, you're a God of joy, you're a God of strength. But I thank you, God, that you're a God of tenderness and kindness and mercy and help. And God, every day in women, we see your heart. We see your care. We see your love. As you spoke to us this morning by the Holy Spirit and said you love us a thousand times over, 10,000 times over what we feel for each other. God, I thank you for every woman that stands before me and every woman that's touched every one of our lives as we have made this journey through life, Father. Because truly we see your heart, we see your tenderness, and we see your care through the eyes, the hearts, the hands, the nurture of these that stand before me. And Father, I truly believe that the enemy has put a mark on them. I think he hates them with a hatred and just a malice. But Father, I pray for them. I pray that you would touch their hearts and their minds. I pray that you would strengthen them inwardly. I pray, Father, that you would just help them to grow in your grace and love and knowledge and realize, because you have made them women, that God, they are a weapon in your hand. You created them to love, to nurture, to care, Lord, and Father, to represent that part of your heart to all of mankind. And God, just help them to be the women that you have created each one of them to be. Help them to always be drawn to you and to your word. And Father, help them to know that, God, outward beauty and attraction is fading, Lord God. But as your word says, a woman that fears the Lord is greatly to be praised and greatly to be loved, Father. And God, I just ask that you would live in them, Christ Jesus, and live through them. And Lord, help us today, and not just today, but for every day, to honor who they are and the gifts that you put in them, and to love them as you love them, Jesus. and God to be the men that we're supposed to be, to love and to care for them, even as you loved and cared and died for your church, Father. Help us to lay down our lives, to love them, to serve them, to help them and encourage them, I pray. And Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now I tricked you. You're going to be a choir. We're going to worship. I want you to stay right where you are.
Let's bow our heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you and we glorify your name. Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house today. Father, we thank you for your word that was spoken here today. Father, we thank you for every mom, woman, godly woman, adopted mom, adopted spiritual mom, whoever it may be, every woman that you've sent into our lives to bless us, Lord. Bless them this day. Prosper them. Father, I speak over your people. Father, make them the head and not the tail. Bless them as they come in and bless them as they go out. Prosper them in all that they do. Let there be great signs, wonders, and miracles, Father, in all the days of their life. Father, I speak divine health over every person in this room, Lord God. Father, remind us this week how much you love us. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Happy Mother's Day.